Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Sunday Morning Roundtable discussion. Today is Sunday, August 9th, 2020. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and we're so glad you could join us today. And our subject this morning is on spirit, and we will start with the morning prayer, Florence.
I'm reading from page 152 of Miscellaneous Writings. May meekness, mercy, and love dwell forever in the hearts of those who worship in this tabernacle. Then will they receive the heritage that God has prepared for his people, made ready for the pure in affection, the meek in spirit, the worshiper in truth, the follower of good. Thus founded upon the rock of Christ, when storm and tempest beat against this sure foundation, you, safely sheltered in the strong tower of hope, faith, and love, are God's nestlings. And he will hide you in his feathers till the storm has passed. Into his haven of soul, there enters no element of earth to cast out angels, to silence the right intuition which guides you safely home. Exercise more faith in God and his spiritual means and methods than in man and his material ways and means of establishing the cause of Christian Science. If right yourself, God will confirm his inheritance. Be not weary in well-doing. Truth is restful. And love is triumphant. Mary Baker Eddy.
Very beautiful. Thank you. Does someone have a computer on that we're getting echo? Okay. Well, if you got silenced. Okay. We will do the watching point, please.
Watch number 351. Watch that your devotion to Christian Science, for what it can do for you, is gradually superseded by a love for it of itself, for what it really is, and for what it enables you to do for others. Once Mrs. Eddy wrote to a member of the board of directors, quote, persevere. And if the fire burns low or appears to be getting extinguished, replenish it with faith and love. Never lose its light on the altar of Christian Science, and never cease to watch, work, pray. End quote. When your fire seems to burn low, when your enthusiasm diminishes because the benefits from Christian Science cease to thrill, or perhaps are delayed, the ashes can be rekindled by claiming a love for Christian Science for its own sake, for what it is, the way of salvation for mankind, and by an effort to share its blessings with the needy world. One never experiences the highest satisfaction in science through a selfish application of its truth. Furthermore, any lack of love for science is merely the effect of a false argument and is never a fact. In reality, it is our privilege to rejoice daily in the unfoldments which come to us from God and in the opportunity each day offers to share these blessings with others. And watch.
Thank you. Comments on that?
Well, I spoke to my practitioner the other day about this. I had noticed when I first came here, because my life before was not good at all, and coming here was so much better, for a while I rode this wave of, you know, just being glad that it's better and the benefits of the church. And then, you know, it just kept going. But then after a while, I realized that I had to adjust that view and make sure that I was here for the right reason. And you know, just to keep reevaluating that link between me and this church and God, I guess. So.
Thank you.
Well, and this is warning that there's a trap for people who come into Christian Science whose lives are improved so much. People become healthier. A lot of people become wealthier. And they become more peaceful and harmonious. And there's a risk that people stop there, that their churches stop there, and they don't, you know, they don't grow spiritually from there. And that is the danger. That we want to watch out for, because it doesn't work. And if you look around at the Christian Science movement, within the organization, that appears to be what has happened to a lot of churches. They have become satisfied, self-satisfied, with their material wealth. And people, if they're not careful, will judge their demonstration or others' demonstrations on how, quote, peaceful or prosperous their lives are, which is a total trap, because that's not where it's at.
This is a very important watching point. And even if you're not getting the answers or blessings that you think that you should have in science, this is saying you don't stop. All I have to do is think about Mrs. Eddy. How many times could she have stopped? I mean, she originally, in the very beginning, losing her husband, her mother, then there was someone else I think she was going to marry who also died, her son, one trial after the next. And then when she began on the discovery of it, her family rejecting her having to live in boarding houses.
Her sister imploring her to give up this crazy idea.
Christian Science, just please don't think it's just all about the wonderful things you're going to get. If that's what you think it is, then yeah, you will go. You are not the good seed. You are not. There are times of great blessings, but there are also times when all you feel like is you're going through a lot of trials. And you're being tested. There was a good calendar statement about that. I don't know if I can remember it. I should have written it down. But, when you take a test, you're supposed to, you know, everyone's supposed to be quiet, right? So when you're going through a test, don't question if you don't hear from God. if he's quiet, you're taking a test. So let's just see, where are you? Where are you in this?
Yeah, the teacher doesn't make a lot of noise when you're doing
it. Yeah, just going to see how well you do on your own.
We have to have our eyes on our own work.
That's right. Not on everyone else's. And just as Gary said, not being, oh, look at so-and-so. They're having such a great time. They're so wealthy. I mean, I think Thomas told me, some of the wealthiest people in our nation are Christian Scientists, especially Principia. And Mrs. Evans used to talk about, as I've said, Sara Lee, Smucker's, all these big companies who made so much money had Christian Science in them. God, we have an abundant God, and God does bless us. But
for his purpose, not for ours.
Yes.
Yeah, trials are a proof of God's care.
That's right. That's right. So if you're going through the trials, that doesn't mean you're not a good Christian Scientist. It doesn't mean you're not worthy. It doesn't mean all the things that Eric tell you. It just means to keep going, and you're being tested. And look, Mrs. Eddy could have given up so many times, and we wouldn't have had the science. What happened to Christ Jesus? He didn't stop. We do it for the love of God, for the love of the science, for the love of humanity.
Other Protestant churches have fallen into this trap also.
Yes.
The mega churches, and then it's all this prosperity, and then look what happens.
Yes.
So we have to really be careful.
We do. I was talking to Gary about that on the way over, because you hear these, they get so wealthy, they have yachts, they're doing all kinds of things on their yachts that they shouldn't be doing. Big million, billion dollar homes. It's horrible. That's what gives Christianity such a terrible name.
But again, you know, what is all the wealth if you're still, you know, resentful of your brother? You're still, you know, you get easily angry, and all these other things that are not godlike are not being worked out. I've seen people where they have a lot of money, yes, but angry forever, resentful, I mean, deeply resentful of even a relative, and it wasn't good. So where is the Christ living here if we are not also, you know, making the effort to replace the things that are not godlike in ourselves?
It's to no avail.
Exactly.
Yes, no avail. And I appreciate, I didn't get to speak of it last week, but Karen had written on the forum about, you know, this church encouraging people to give back, to do, to be active. And it's so most important, and I appreciated that forum. And it is true. And all of you can do truly as much or as little as you like. But those of you who are stepping up and doing more find it to be a great blessing, because that life-changing quote Mrs. Evans gave me years ago from Fidelity, which is...
Too soon?
Yes.
Too soon.
You cannot turn from disease in the body to find disease in the mortal mind. And it's...
healing, waiting for God.
Yes. Yes. Very true.
But I really also think that if you're really working the way it should be done, like we've all learned from this church, then there comes a point when, even when things seem so unbearable, you really have nowhere else to turn. If you search your heart, you know there is no other way, nowhere else to turn. And so you go on.
Yes.
Thank you. And that is all Mrs. Eddy ever required for church membership, isn't it?
Yes, if you see that this is the only way, right?
The only way. Oh, and that was a calendar statement about, the highway to sin is broad or something, while it's a highway to the sin, but it's a stairway to heaven. So it showed that it shows about the traffic. Which has the most traffic? It's the highway to hell, not the stairway to heaven. Anyway, so yeah, there's many allurements out to get you off that path. Was someone trying to speak?
Yes, what I was going to say was that with the wealth, the people getting rich through Christian Science isn't the problem. The question is, are they simply getting rich and not sharing it with their workers or fellow man? So that's where their sharing comes in.
Oh, absolutely. And that was the thing we were taught here. Whatever we gained in science was only to give back. If it was a nice home, then you had people into your home. If it was money, then you shared that money. Whatever gains in that respect, it's only to give and to share with others. As we've said, the river flowing, the abundant river of God flowing to us. And if we just hold it there and in a selfish manner, it creates...
It deteriorates.
Yeah.
And it's like Jesus's parable, the guy building the bigger barns.
Yeah.
Thou fool.
Thou fool. And what are you going to do with all of it? And as Florence says, that's not what gives you happiness anyway. You're still harboring hate and other things. You're not happy. You can have as many things as you possibly could imagine. That's not what makes a person happy.
But when the stream is flowing, the water is clear and pure and clean. But when it ends up in a swamp and can't go anywhere, it begins to stink and doesn't do anybody any good.
No. I wanted to spend a few minutes. We had a board meeting this week, and Jeremy shared with us the many ways that we are spending the money that many of you so generously give. We are very grateful for, and you can rest assured the money is spent wisely and well on outreach, not in buying yachts for ourselves. Heaven forbid. So anyway, Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just to give you an overview of what the church's budget looks like, not to be specific, but we spend a little bit of money maintaining the church and keeping it running. But the bulk of our budget is really maintaining our website, our broadcast equipment. And a couple of years ago, we were contacted by a fellow in the Middle East who runs a Christian church in a predominantly Muslim nation, so their lives are at risk. But they found our website, and they were ecstatic at what they found. And he asked us if he could translate some of our lessons and articles into three of the native languages that are predominant in the area. And we could tell that this was God, you know, putting us together with someone over there. So we agreed, and that led to Jeremy creating some websites in foreign languages for that part of the world. And we paid him a little bit to do that. I say a little bit in U.S. dollar terms. It was a lot for him in where he lives. And in his church, there are people who wanted to translate into other Middle Eastern languages. And so they have now translated Dominion Within by Reverend Kratzer, Christian Science in Germany by Francis Thurber Seal, The Greatest Thing in the World by Henry Drummond, Notes on True Vision by John Morgan, The Overwhelming Evidence Concerning Spiritual Healings through Mary Baker Eddy by Ralph Spencer, 500 Watching Points by Gilbert Carpenter, Lectures on Christian Science by Peter V. Ross, and several articles, including Place by Mary Baker Eddy, the History of Our Church, and all of the weekly lessons for the last couple of years. And we pay them to do this because it's important. It's reaching an important part of the world.
And those are the only interpreters that we do pay. Everyone else is volunteer. Almost all of this work is volunteer work, as you know, those of you who give, which we are extremely grateful for. We couldn't possibly pay everybody who does this work. So we're very grateful. This seemed like a very special area of the world, and they being in great need. Also, this person is he and his whole family have become Christian Scientists, right?
They've become members of the church.
He's a member of the church because he was so taken with what he's been translating. So, so again, we are grateful for your volunteer work. We've volunteered for years. No one has ever gotten paid to do anything, really. We have Jeremy who works full time, and now Linda who works almost full time on the website. They get paid. Others get paid token things, but it's all volunteer.
And what's And as a result, we have over 20 websites now, many in foreign languages, that really don't cost us very much to maintain, thanks to all of those of you who do volunteer, and thanks to the group in the Middle East that gets paid very little in dollar terms. And we maintain a bookstore and a library. We're going to order another set of Eustace's book, Christian Science is Clear, Correct Teaching.
We need to reprint it because we've sold almost our whole. We had a huge amount of, as you know, we got the foundation, the Eustace Foundation was given, I don't know how many, at least 500.
700 books.
700.
When we were given the Eustace Trust by the Eustace trustees.
Which now have mostly been sold, so there's a need to print and print them again, and we want to keep that standard, but as you know, printing costs has gone way up, skyrocketed since they were printed years ago in a little printing press in California that no longer exists. So that's going to cost us $24,000. So anyway.
And we will sell the books to recoup that, but we won't make any money.
Yeah, we don't make any money on what we sell. You all know that. We don't make any money. We give everything free on our website because we want people to find us freely and not be all bothered with having to sign in and give money and all of that. It's freely we have received, freely give. So we want to thank you all for doing just that. It's much appreciated, and you can know your money is well spent for the cause of Christian Science.
Worldwide,
yes.
It's astounding how much of the world the church has covered with the languages.
Yes, then we have a whole new list of languages, as you know. I can't. They're all in that Middle East area. And I did pray earnestly because I know how careful Mrs. Eddy was in wanting the Science and Health interpreted correctly. And we have no real way of proofing everybody's work because none of us speak these languages. So I have trusted it to God, and we have always one side the English version and one side the translated version, that we maintain that standard. And we can all be praying, and I know Napoleon, that's the name of the guy, and others pray diligently to do the very best job they can in interpreting this important science to the world. Go ahead, Florence.
No, I was going to just say something about this. It's this universal mission, really, it's all for mankind. Psalm, hymn 182 tells it all, that sharing, it has to flow. In order for it to bless, it has to flow. So anybody want to take a look at hymn 182?
Thank
channels for the streams of love.
Yes, thank you. All right, well, we have plenty to do in this lesson, this beautiful lesson, this one written by Fairley on spirit. And so, Lil, you read the golden text for us.
The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth.
Thank you. This is another very important point, the fruit of the Spirit. A few weeks ago, we had that beautiful song sung, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, and you will bear abundant fruit. We don't get fruit on our own. You can strive and work and to produce fruit, but no, we're merely the vine, the branches. God, the Christ consciousness, gives us fruit. It's a sap that flows, right?
Yes.
So, and that sap, I mean, you can call it many things. It's the Holy Ghost, that Christ consciousness. Mrs. Eddy's definition of the Holy Ghost is development of life, truth, and love. And the Holy Ghost is Christian Science. That's what we know it to be. And what must we do to be receivers of this fruit?
Humble, meek, patient, loving, did I say kind?
Trust keep our hearts open.
Yes.
And against such, there is no law.
Thank you.
And remain in the vine.
Remain, abide in me. And that's, and Shardy said how to abide. By practicing the precepts of Christ Jesus, by following his life and his example. I love that song. I always have. And then it turned out it's a friend of, well, Faith's husband, John, wrote, a friend of his wrote that song. So abide in me and ye shall bear abundant fruit. And this is living in the Spirit. If you, and that's another song they sometimes sing. If you live in the Spirit. Sometimes it's hard, you know, people have trouble with this concept of matter and how we are, how we can be spirit or spiritual, but this is how. Let that sap flow into you. Be that humbleness of mind that it will reach you. So Susan wrote some things from the notes from a class taught by Laura Sargent, which is on our website, and she says one thing she talks about is looking out from truth. Also, that God is not giving anything to me, but he is expressing himself as me. Another most important concept in science to understand. You are not God, but what?
It's perfect reflection.
Right.
Patient, evidence, expression, all that.
Yes. You are not God, but God expresses himself in you. This is the sap flowing. If it's unobstructed. And it's unobstructed when you abide in him. This is why, you know, you think of how many times in the Bible there's all this abiding, right? or dwelling, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You've got to remain there. Remain in me, and ye shall bear abundant fruit. Nothing you do on your own, and that's where we trip up. And then, or we want the credit. It's the ego. You know, you want it. I want to be great. I want to do it. I want credit. And we lose our humility and we're falling flat on our face. He's the one. And the fruit of the Spirit, well, there's a whole list of it. Few is mentioned here, goodness, righteousness, and truth. There's a beautiful list in the Bible. I don't have it with me, but it's a wonderful list. And so it's very important. I'm going to have Gary read what Parthens wrote because it speaks to all of this.
He writes, quote, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3. This saying may be expressed metaphysically. That which is born of non-existence is non-existent. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Note the capital S. Compare the King James Version's translator's rendering of the first letter of the word spirit in John 3, verse 6, with Mrs. Eddy's direct and bold statement on page 77 of the first edition of Science and Health. The final understanding that we are spirit must come. A fitting metaphor for this affirmation of absolute oneness is the sun and the rays emanating from it. Thus, originating from spirit, I express, through and through, the nature of spirit. my one and only origin. Just as a ray originating from the sun expresses through and through the nature of the sun only. And as the sun is greater than any of its rays, so Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Again, in the unveiled first edition, Mrs. Eddy insists that we are spirit and spirit is God is undeniably true. And yet again, we are soul, spirit, and not matter. Page 169. Likewise, the third edition, volume 2, affirms on page 58, at present we know not what we are, but this is certain, that we shall be love, life, and truth. In Mrs. Eddy's study of Job, he is healed, born again, by cursing the day, that is, the finite calendar day, he was born of materiality, blotting out the false sense of material birth. Job finally arrives at the understanding that he had never been born of the flesh to begin with, as a child of time, his true being having been begotten of spirit, as a child of eternity. One day, Mrs. Eddy touched Adam Dickey's hand with her finger and asked him, what is this? He replied, matter. She said, it is not. It is spirit. Then another time she looked at him and said, you are spirit. And he said, no, mother, I am spiritual. She said in a very emphatic way, you are spirit. And he said, mother, I do not see that. She said, you are spirit. The third time, but he said he could not see it. When he was going to his room, he met Mrs. Sargent and told her of the conversation with Mrs. Eddy, and she said, oh, Mr. Dickey, why did you say that? Mother was trying to give you her highest teaching. And that's from Collectania.
Thank you. Any comments on that? Do you understand yourself as spirit? Go ahead.
I think about it, you know, the concern about what is matter and like busting out of matter. If you're thinking out from God, you don't have to worry about that. you don't have to like break this up and get out of it. So.
Thank you.
There is a very, very common misconception among, I guess, most people, and most religions even teach it, that we are somehow separate from God, that we depend upon God for gifts of grace, and we hope that he will send his grace when we most need it. Mrs. Eddy's discovery of the science and Jesus' teaching of the science says, no, that's not it at all. He said, I and my Father are one. Mrs. Eddy said, man is the reflection of God.
Well, spiritual is just an adjective. I mean, because that's what we are.
Thank you. And when she said, told Anna Dickey, you are spirit, She said it with a capital S. It was written with a capital S. In other words, God is your being. Spirit is your being. That is the truth about us. There is no separation. She says that many times. There's no separation between you and God. You are God expressed. You're not separate. Whatever God is, you are.
And that's how the healing takes place, the understanding. That's why Bicknell Young's article, Oneness, is so important. You know, I know one of you, you're listening to it over and over and over again in sections just to get it into your being. Yes, that this is the scientific statement of being. All is in mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Lawrence, were you?
No, I was just, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's why she gave the scientific statement of being.
Yes.
To make it our own. But I, also what's been helpful is infinite spirit, which means all spirit, nothing outside of infinity. So if that's the case, then we are included. We are in, we are all spirit. I think that helped me along the way some time ago.
Yes, that increases our love of brotherhood. We're all one in God. And that's why all of this fussing and fighting that's going on is so unnecessary. Because this is the truth. And knowing this truth is so important. That was the watch we had last night. When we are knowing this truth, we will shorten the days. Because ERA is trying to say it can manifest itself. Well, we know that Hera can't manifest itself because it's powerless. It's not of God. But we must be knowing this. And she says daily knowing it. This was a quote from Bicknell Young's article, Electricity. And it's the great necessity of being because it will shorten the days of such turmoil and tragedy. Unnecessary. This is our assignment. To take this on and do it and have a deeper understanding and appreciation of what it means to be spirit. And this means all parts of us, everything about us is spirit. Because then it gets confused. People say, oh, well, you don't have a stomach or you don't have eyes. You don't have. Well, yes, you do. It's just they're of spirit. They're function. And they function in God, in spirit. And then the person who said, you know, they couldn't see, well, how can they see things spiritually? And I believe it was Mrs. Eddy said, you couldn't see anything else even if you tried. I love that, because that's all there is.
I like the way she says, Mrs. Eddy says, human existence was seen to be an enigma. It's not an exact quote. Until we accept the spiritual understanding ourselves.
Thank you.
And I felt that puzzle for years, you know. how are you gonna succeed at many things? It's just sometimes a matter of chance, it seems. About God and the understanding that He's working.
Thank you.
I think it's also so important, really, to this is the new birth. I like that the article, New Birth in Miscellaneous Writings. And also without that understanding, or at least, you know, starting with that, okay, this is, it's a new day now, you know, this is going forward with a new view. Without that, I was always applying the truth to mortal sense of myself and always trying to bring the truth to this human, you know, humanize it or something. I was doing wrong for years because I didn't understand to start thinking of myself as God's own likeness, God's spirit. Therefore, I am spiritual or spirit as well.
Thank you. Yes, and this goes in the lesson to the story of Nicodemus about being born again. It goes back to what Parthens wrote about Job. We all need to be born again of the spirit. And that's why all this going back to your human family and ancestry and all of this, you don't. Even if it was good, don't. If it was good, it was from God. But it's much better to identify yourself as a child, son or daughter of the King, as I like to say. With all only good inheritance, spirit. So, remember, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, and you will bear abundant fruit. Now, is Karen here?
Yes.
Karen, you want to give us what you found? I guess it was in Dorothy Rickey.
Can't hear you if you're talking.
Are you there? Maybe she's...
She's here, but she's not muted.
Okay,
way.
Well... she's... Something Dorothy Rieke says in her lecture, Immortality Brought to Light, I found very helpful. She says, quote, supporting my statement of perfection, I know it, I understand it, I accept it, I am grateful for it, I am thrilled with it, I am demonstrating it, I am satisfied with it, and everyone sees the perfect demonstration, exclamation mark, period, full stop, end quote. Then she says, this kind of testimony doesn't leave any opportunity for negative buts or ifs to introduce any compromising statements. So there we go. Then we have to, if you doubt any of this and you just sit and think about it and try to figure it out in your prayer chair, you can't. You've got to do it. You've got to start applying it. Just try it. You'll like it, as they say.
Well, I when I'm in, for instance, in my living room, I look at a beautiful picture, and it's love. It's not a material picture. It's love.
Yes,
and
thank you.
The chair, and that's comfort. And the television set is communication, but they're not material.
That's right. That's right. You see them, you see the source is God. All the beauty in the universe is God, God expressing himself. And the more you see that, actually the more spiritual it will become. It's how Mrs. Eddy could, you know, heal her trees and other things. Seeing them as spirit, not as material.
And then do the same thing for yourself.
Yes, most important.
See yourself. See yourself as principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love manifest right here, right now. And, you know, this getting born again is a leap of faith for most of us. I struggle with it. I don't struggle so much as I used to, but I used to struggle a lot with it. Because the material appearance, the mortal beliefs are so aggressive. They want you to believe that they're true, that you are material, that you are subject to so-called material laws. You have limitations. So we get out of that. It requires a leap of faith. But take that leap.
Lawrence?
No, I think that, then I make the effort to obey God. He said so. So I will obey that.
That's it. He's told us a lot of things. He told us not to fear. He told us to obey him. And Mrs. Eddy says, obey before you understand. You got to get in there. We were always told, get your foot off the bottom of the pool and start swimming. You got to have that leap of faith. Yes. And for those, if any of you haven't seen that, The Chosen, we've talked about the life of Christ, that first, it's only been one series, first series. It's so beautiful. And Nicodemus is one of the main characters, which is so interesting to me. You know, how he deeply wanted to know the truth from Christ Jesus so deeply, and he'd been falsely taught.
But he was a good man.
It was. It's beautifully represented.
I think the torture in really wanting to follow Christ and being torn. It's a beautiful scene, really.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, such a beautiful scene. Mm.
Yeah, I think about him being around the corner crying when
I know.
Jesus bring a positive relief.
Just weep because he wants so much to go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a
But he
struggle.
Had so much baggage.
So much
yeah.
baggage. Yes. All right.
But it wasn't his last chance.
No. It's his last chance. We were always given innumerable chances.
Right.
Linda, now, with your beautiful post.
I took the quote from the responsive reading from Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And I went to Spurgeon. I found something that I thought was beautiful. He spoke of the Psalm 139, quote, sings of the omniscience and omnipresence of God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? As if he had said, whither can I flee from thee, whose essence, presence, and power is everywhere? And then he also went on, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's long, but there's one part that he put little hints to the preachers, and he had little points. He said, God is wherever I am. I feel but a small part of space, but he fills all space. And it reminded me of when Florence talks about everywhereness. And then Spurgeon also wrote, God is wherever I could be. If I ascend to heaven, if I descend to Sheol, if I travel with the sunbeams of the most distant part of the earth or heavens or the sea, I shall be in thy hand. Man is always somewhere, and God is always everywhere. End quote. That was Charles Spurgeon. And I'm so grateful to be here learning about this omnipresence and feeling it. And then it reminded me of the beautiful poem, The Deer's Cry. I finally had a new sense even of that's really just about God's omnipresence. And then they added that beautiful rendition of
it. Yeah, it was lovely. Maybe we'll sing that sometime. Yeah. And that was something Carthens told us about. And it's so, that poem, The Deer's Cry, he originally sent that. I had never heard of it. So I'll have Carol read that to him. If you don't have it, you should make it part of your...
Yeah. You can get it on the forum now and on the website.
Here's the poem. I rise today through the strength of heaven, light of the sun, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock. I rise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's hosts to save me, afar and anear, alone or in a multitude. Christ shield me today against wounding. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ while I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eyes that in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I rise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation.
Oh, infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. We have that in one of our liberators, too, and Luann did a beautiful illustration of it. So if you don't have these, you know, our liberators, they're good to read online, but it's really nice to have paper copies, too. They're just amazing. I mean, and I say that very humbly. No person could put them together. God does it. And all of you in contributing what you do. Charlie, would you like to say a few words about your forum?
Oh, just that to do all of this, this beautiful forum that taught us so well. Mrs. Eddy was very careful, and I'm learning to be very careful, that you, in order not to slip, you know, you have to pay attention. And she watched every little thing that came into her experience. And there are stories about things she did. Some people must have been surprised. But she demanded that was her, what was hers from God would be given to her. That so no other thought, so the door would be opened to a later, larger error. And that's what I've been working on.
Thank you. Thank you. And then Joe wrote, too, something more, and it's from the John Morgan True Vision on Spirit. We won't have time to get into that, but that article, too, by John Morgan is wonderful. All the synonyms of God and except God. So well, we will end now with Mrs. Eddy.
This is a letter from Mrs. Eddy to the First Church of Christ Scientist in Scranton. God is a consuming fire. He separates the dross from the gold, purifies the human character through the furnace of affliction. Those who bear fruit he purgeth, that they may bear more fruit. Through the sacred law he speaketh to the unfruitful in tones of Sinai. And in the gospel he saith of the barren fig tree, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? God is our father and our mother, our minister and the great physician. He is man's only real relative on earth and in heaven. David sang, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Brother, sister, beloved in the Lord, knowest thou thyself, and art thou acquainted with God? If not, I pray thee, as a Christian Scientist, delay not to make him thy first acquaintance. Glorious things are spoken of you in his word. Ye are a chosen people, whose God is what? Even all. May mercy and truth go before you. May the lamp of your life continually be full of oil, and you be wedded to the spiritual idea Christ. Then will you heal and teach and preach on the ascending scale of everlasting life and love. Affectionately yours in Christ, Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you so very much.